Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
You know, one of the things that's so important in the life of a believer, well, there's so many things that's so important because I've got so much running through my mind, but one of the things that's really important is for us to understand our authority, for us to understand the power of prayer, for us to understand what we are called to do as believers. And I think many of us don't grasp the fullness of that. In fact, I don't even think we grasp half of that in so many ways. And many Christians will go through life serving God, even loving God, but never embracing what He has for them. You know, many of us, you know, in life, we have certain things that are given to us or certain tools that we have, wonderful tools that we have, but we never use them. And they kind of just rust away in the corner. You know, if you have this, you know, you want to do some harvesting on a field and you have this awesome tractor and it will save you so much time, but you just don't use it. Well, you see, God has given you tools and certain things and He wants you to use them. He wants us to use them. We've been given them. He's paid a price for them. In fact, Jesus has paid a price for the believer, specifically in the area of authority. But unfortunately, many Christians don't use it for a few reasons. One is a lack of knowledge. Two is fear. Three is a lack of knowledge, and four is fear. Now, there are probably several other reasons, but I honestly believe a lack of knowledge, a lack of faith, a lack of fear, those are the things that really cause a believer to not step into the authority. If you've ever been in a true deliverance before, where a demon spirit actually begins to speak to you, you've got two choices in that moment when you're doing deliverance. You're busy casting a demon out of somebody. And that demon raises his head up and he starts to speak to you. You've got two choices. You can either get really afraid and really back down, or you can take authority in the name of Jesus, which you've been given, and get rid of that thing. Amen? Now, I honestly believe that that's what Jesus came to do, to give the believer authority. I want to show you something. Let's go back to somewhere close to the beginning of the Bible in the book of Exodus. I want to show you what God says to Moses. This is very powerful. My message this morning, I'm going to entitle The Path to Authority. Now, we've been given authority in the name of Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you've stepped into your authority or that you're using it. So I want to teach you tonight what I believe is the path to taking a hold and embracing the authority that you've been given. Is that okay? Exodus 19, 3-6 says this. And I want to just say this as well. I feel this is important. I felt I need to do this. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but about a year and a half ago, the Lord really spoke to me about Derek Prince. The Lord spoke to me about studying his material. The Lord, in fact, said to me, I want you to study everything he's written, everything he's done. And so I've been doing that. And so even tonight, this message, a lot of the content tonight comes from him. He's an incredible biblical scholar, and I advise you strongly, you know, specifically in the area of authority, there's like very few that have as much knowledge and revelation on authority as Derek Prince. So I just wanted to mention that to you. So let's go to Exodus 19, verse number 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "This you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself." And I love this so much because it paints a picture of God's, I believe, his intent for mankind. I believe God has had a desire to have a people for himself. If you look right from the very beginning, God created man in his image and likeness. And in fact, God created man and said to man, I'm going to give you dominion over the earth. But the idea was for man and God to be together. And God wanted man to be with him. And I love when the Bible says that, you know, that God, you know, came down in the cool of the day and walked in the midst of the garden. You know, which kind of suggests that this was something that God would do with man. You know, he would come down and he would be with man and share with man on the earth. And I think that's so awesome. And here in the book of Exodus, this is now long after the fall of man, we see God delivering his people out of the hands of Egypt. And he says this, he says that, I have brought you to myself. God has always wanted his people to be with him. Now you may say, what has this got to do with authority? Absolutely everything. And I'm hoping that as I go on this morning, this afternoon, that you will understand why this is so important. He says this in verse number 5. He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant." He says this, and I love this. Before we jump on, I want you to see something. You know, God says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. In John 10:27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they will follow me." And we all love that scripture. But the truth is, the two are very connected. New Testament and Old Testament. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, there's something that will happen. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me," or they obey me. Same thing. If you've ever seen a sheep, when the shepherd calls them, they come. No hesitation. They do not rebel. Amen. So really, Jesus is saying the same thing. What I'm learning more and more as I begin to, you know, dive more and more over the years into the scriptures, I find that almost everything that was said in the New Testament has already been said in the Old Testament. You'll find it somewhere. It's incredible. And then he says this. He says, so let's go back to Exodus, verse number 5, chapter 19, verse number 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." God wanted Moses to go and tell the people, "Listen, that I've called you to myself, that you will become a special people. You will become a treasure to me." In fact, he says that you will become a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is the desire that God had for man, specifically for his people that he had called at the time. How many of you know that's true? Unfortunately, most of us know that there were only a few individuals in the Old Testament that really embraced this. And we see several times through Scripture that the hand of the Lord came upon these individuals, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon these individuals. But unfortunately, the majority decided to reject God. Now, yes, they followed Him, but they did not obey His voice. That did not walk with Him the way that He desired. And I think oftentimes it was confusion, out of confusion. In other words, they felt like God was just trying to suppress them. But actually, no, that was never the case. God was always just trying to protect them because He loved them. So we see in the New Testament, in the book of Peter, now watch this because it's very powerful. He says this, 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. Watch this now. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Listen, that's a scripture you should shout about. And the reason why you should shout about it is because you have been called out of darkness. You have been called not only out of darkness, but now you are chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. In other words, if you're a royal priest, you are a king and a priest. Now, I've taught you on this, but I want to show you something powerful out of this tonight. The truth is that Peter's quoting the book of Exodus. He's quoting the same thing. "You will be a treasure. You will be my people. I'll call you out. Are you with me?" He's literally quoting the book of Exodus. The only thing is he wants you and I to know that as a new believer, as a born-again child of God, this promise is for you. How many of you know that the way into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, which was the veil, has been taken away? So now God is calling you and I to be a royal priesthood, to be kings and priests unto our God. Now let me ask you a question. What does a king do? Come on, it's not that hard. He doesn't just sit around and have fun all day, although some kings do that. The truth is that the biggest thing that a king does is he rules. So the truth is that we on the earth are supposed to rule. We are supposed to rule. What are we supposed to rule? We're supposed to rule over the darkness. We are supposed to have authority over the darkness. And the reason why we're supposed to have authority over the darkness is because you and I have been removed from that darkness. And when you come out of darkness, now you're in light. You're standing for that light. You're in the light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend it. There is only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. There is only two kingdoms. So when you're in the one, you're against the other. A kingdom cannot stand divided against itself. That's why a double-minded Christian will always fall apart. Because you cannot serve two masters. Are you with me? So Jesus says this in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1, verses 5. I want to show you again the pattern of the fact that you and I are called to be kings and priests, or a royal priesthood. Revelation 1, verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, thank you, Father, and has made us, everybody said, has made us. Yes. Everybody say, has made us. In other words, you have already been made. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can you say amen? We have been called to be two different functions within the kingdom. We have been called to be kings and we have been called to be priests. That is what we are meant to do on this earth. That function is literally your highest calling. You are called to be a king and a priest. That's what Jesus has done. He's died for you so that you could have eternal life, so that you could be restored to him on earth. God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let him have dominion over the earth. God has now made a way once again for us to do that. What is the way? Jesus is the way. There is no other way. So it's in Christ that we now have been made kings and priests unto our God. And we have this authority that many of us don't use. In fact, most of us either don't use it or don't understand it. Now, talking about coming out of darkness into light, let me show you. Colossians 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. And conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son and his love. So we have come out of darkness into light. We've been removed from one kingdom, and now we operate out of another kingdom. Romans 5:17 says this, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. Everybody say reign. Who's he talking about? So we are called, don't get mad at me, we are called to reign. That's what the Bible says. Let me read it to you again. Verses 5, Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that's talking about the fall, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign, now watch this, in life. Everybody say in life. Through the one Jesus Christ. Now he's not talking about the afterlife, he's talking about this life. That he's saying that you will reign in this life. But you see, the only way that that will happen is if we walk in an abundance of grace and if we understand our righteousness. How many of you know we have received grace? How many of you know that we have been made righteous? In fact, we are the righteousness of God. Can you say amen? The righteousness of Christ. We are his righteousness on the earth. We have been made righteous. But I want you to understand something, because it's really important. That righteousness, the Bible tells us there, is a gift. He says the gift of righteousness. So the only way that you can reign is because Christ died for you, took your place, and has given you the gift of righteousness, which is his righteousness. It's important that you understand something. That right that you have to be righteous was not something that you earned. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. But that doesn't mean that we should not strive to do right and live right. We should do that. But the fact is, even that we come short in. Even when we strive with all of our hearts. So what could he do to make us righteous? He had to give us his righteousness. So he died so that we could be made righteous. So we've received the righteousness of Christ and been made righteous. That's the only reason why we can reign on this earth. Are you with me, or am I like going far beyond and above and somewhere in left field? Are you all with me? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. How? In him. So if we're in him, we have been made righteous. We have been made holy because he died for us. This is an incredible thing, guys. It's an incredible thing. But it's not just righteousness. Yes, he's made us righteous. But the Bible also tells us that he has given us an abundance of grace. Now, I want you to understand something. Grace can be abused, but we need grace desperately. So we don't want to abuse grace, and we don't want to talk about grace as if it's something that's just like freely given, like in a fiat, weird, and wonderful kind of way. But the fact of the matter is, in our lives, in some area, in fact, in a lot of areas, we need an abundance of grace. And the Bible tells us that that's how we get to rule. Because he has given us an abundance of grace. And that grace is constantly coming at you. Otherwise, you would not be able to reign. Otherwise, you would not be able to have authority. Because you would constantly be in trouble. Well, not me, but you definitely. The fact is, we sin. We do things, say things. Doesn't make it right, but we do it. We make mistakes, and it can affect everything. Yes, it can. But because he's made us righteous, because there's an abundance of grace, we can continue to fight the good fight of faith, and we can continue to stand in that authority that he's given us. We can continue to reign on the earth as ambassadors of the kingdom. That reigning is not about making you rich and famous. That reigning is about establishing his kingdom. You see, Jesus came to save the world. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. When the kingdom of God comes into a place, all of that stuff gets destroyed. The fact is when you come into a place, it should be exactly the same. Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us that there's deliverance. It's Christ in us that there's healing. It's Christ in us that there's breakthrough. But you must know your authority. You must know that you can reign, that you can rule, that you can operate as a king on the earth. Now, most of us can kind of understand the concept. Some people get a little offended by that, but that's your problem. Offense is a choice. It's so clear. I mean, I preached a whole service just on a king and priest. Go read it, listen to it. There's a whole series. I mean, I broke it down. But tonight I want to explain a concept to you, something, a principle, a concept that is so important for us to fully grasp. Because I think one of the primary reasons why so many people don't reign is because they don't operate as a priest. You see, it's a royal priesthood, or kings and priests unto our God. The two go hand in hand. I've heard many teachings, and I'm not knocking anybody, because revelation is something that is always coming, and God is revealing more and more to us. But I don't believe that some are called to be priests and some are called to be kings. I believe we are all called to be a royal priesthood. That doesn't mean that some people won't operate more as a priest, perhaps. But in the context of what he's talking about, he's not talking about super wealth and then priests. He's talking about ruling and reigning against a kingdom that has been established on the earth by the enemy. And so it's our responsibility to come and execute judgment against that kingdom. To come and exercise authority and power that Jesus has already established on the earth. Let me say that again. That Jesus has already established. You see, the truth is, the authority has already been given to you. It's already in place. It's like the tractor's already there for you to get into and start doing the work. But what we do is we tend to look at it and wonder, can I actually drive it? Can I actually do it? Can I actually use it? Is it really mine? I don't know, whatever it might be. The fact is we don't do it. Well, you know, you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything for that authority. That's right. It's done. But do you know that it's yours? Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to step into it? You see, the two go hand in hand. And let me show you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It's Saturday night in Vero Beach, and we're in church. You see, how many of you know that Jesus is our example? So we follow his example. How many of you know that he is a king and a priest? Now watch, Ephesians 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. You see, God has called us to himself. We are his own special people. This is so powerful. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. This kind of reminds me of how, you know, we are now alive in Christ. How many of you know that when you get baptized, it's a symbol of you going underwater, coming up, and now you've been baptized. Now you are baptized into Christ. That's why there's only one baptism. It's into Christ that we get baptized. That's what that really represents, the baptism of Christ, into Christ. And so when we do that, we are made alive together with him. We are dead to our sins. We are dead to our past. We are born again, or we are made alive together with Christ. How is it? Is it by what you've done, or is it by grace? Are you guys awake tonight? Is everybody there? Everybody out there? By grace, we have been saved. Now watch. Because you see, when you come out of that water, he says, and raised us up together, and has made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You must understand that the Bible tells us that Christ has been seated above all principalities and powers. So when it comes to, when we talk about heavenly places, we talk about realms of authority, heavenly places. Christ has been placed above all powers and principalities. In other words, he is the rank supreme power. He has all authority. He has all power. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, I'm going to say that again. I'm just going to aggravate you, devil. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you will bow the knee as well. So you see, he says that, and raised us up together, verse number 6, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that we are sitting with him. You see, we are on the earth in our physical bodies, but spiritually, we have attained a certain level. What level is that? We have been seated with him. This is not something that's going to happen one day. This has already happened. You have already been seated with him, far above principalities and power. So you're there. You have the truck ready to go. Are you using it? We are seated with him in heavenly places. Now, we understand that Jesus was a king. We understand that we should also be able to have that authority. But in order for us to step into it, and in fact, we can see this even in the life of Jesus. Because before Jesus could rule, before Jesus had authority, he had to sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Now, Jesus sacrificed. If you look at the life of a priest, what is a priest supposed to do? Make? If you look at the Old Testament, because you don't agree, that's okay. In the Old Testament, what did the priests do? You see, we've been so indoctrinated by absolute rubbish that we've lost the basic essentials. Well, you're not supposed to sacrifice anymore. I'll show you how we are supposed to sacrifice. We are supposed to sacrifice. Jesus, in order to come down and rule and cause us to be able to rule, had to give everything up. Think about it for just a second. The King of the universe, the Lord of Lords, comes down and he basically strips himself of everything he has. And he has, and you think about when he goes to the cross, how they spat at him, mocked him, ridiculed him. We're talking about the God of all creation, who was in the beginning, and everything was made through him. He was in the beginning. Are you with me? He's the God of it all, who gives it all up. What do you call that? I call that sacrifice. What do you call when he went and spilt his blood for us, so that you and I could be saved? That's why we don't have to do anything for sin anymore except repent, because the price has been paid. We don't have to make that sacrifice. But you see, while Jesus was on the earth fulfilling his duty and his responsibility to come and establish the kingdom of God by doing what? By being a priest and a king. What did he do? He made sacrifices. He made sacrifices. Let's go to Hebrews 5, verse number 7. You see, while Jesus was in his flesh, he made sacrifices. Let's read what it says. Who in the day of his flesh, Jesus now, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. What is an offering? See, when Jesus was on the earth in the flesh, he offered up. He made sacrifices of what? Of prayers and supplications. You see, we as people, as Christians, in our priestly function, we are called to make spiritual sacrifices as well. Well, what do I mean? Let's take a look at it. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. There we go. We are holy priests. What are we supposed to do? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If Jesus himself came down on the earth, and while he was on the earth, made spiritual sacrifices. What type of spiritual sacrifices? Prayers and supplications. He offered up prayers and supplications to the Lord. You see, we have to go before God and we have to stand in the gap. How many of you know that Jesus is our intercessor forever? And he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. I've taught you that an intercessor is someone that really what he does is he takes the place of someone else. You see, for us as intercessors, as people that make prayers and supplications, we are supposed to go to God and go beyond, Lord, protect my wife and my children. We are supposed to stand in the gap. We are supposed to make intercession. We are supposed to take authority over the enemy. We are supposed to come against what the enemy is trying to do. Listen, not our will, but his will. You see, I can pray for my government, and I can execute the will of God, pray the will of God over this government, come against the plans of the enemy over the government, not my will, his will. In other words, I might think that this one needs to win the election, but it's not up to me. So I don't pray what I want, I pray what he wants. But I want you to know that somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to stand in the gap and make sacrifices. You see, the priests of old, that's what they did. They would go and they would make sacrifices on behalf of the people. Now, we don't have to do that for sins, but we still have to stand in the gap as priests and make these prayers and supplications. Cry out to God. Cry out to God for our city. Cry out to God for our nation. Cry out to God for our family. And then it can start even at your own house. Cry out to God for yourself. You see, you must understand, you are in a spiritual battle. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. You are. I spoke about it last week. We are in a wrestling match. Paul chose his words carefully. He didn't say we were boxing. He didn't say we were racing. He said we wrestle, not against flesh and blood. but against principalities and powers. And that wrestling is something in the old times, that in the Philistia, where it was a fight to the death that was brutal and violent and had no rules. It puts MMA to shame, and I don't watch that garbage. Don't get mad. Oh, you guys get so mad. I didn't say you don't have to like it. I don't like it. Okay? Now your wives are going to say, see, Pastor Alex said it's bad. I never said that. But be so careful what you say. Because whatever you say will be held against you in the court of law. You see, if we did that, we would have a lot more peace in our lives. If we did that part, we would be able to exercise our authority, because we'd be fulfilling our function as both priest and king on the earth. Look at this. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, how am I supposed to do that? But in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ. You see, we have authority in Christ. It is through Christ that we pray. It is through Christ that we have authority. When I cast a demon out, I do it in the name of Jesus. I don't do it in my authority. I don't do it because of how great I am or how anointed I am. I do it because He's anointed. I do it because He's great. I do it because of His name. And I stand in the gap as an intercessor called to reign. Called to have authority, called to be a king and priest. And when I pray in public, it's because of my private prayers with Him that He hears me and He answers me, because the two of us have a relationship. The two of us know each other. You see, the one thing that priests did in the Old Testament more than anything is they would make supplications and prayers and bring them up to the Father. As a priest, God has always desired that you would be His people, set apart, that would desire to come to Him. Not someone that was selected because He chose you and that's your function, but because you desire it. Because you desire to be that priest. You see, if we do that, if we can be a people that really say, Lord, here I am. And this morning, all I want to do is just bring prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Let my thanksgiving come up before You as a sweet smelling aroma this morning, Father. Lord, let me remind you, this sounds crazy, of how good You really are. I want to remind You, Father, that You have taken care of me, that You have provided for me, that I'm thankful to You, Lord, that I'm grateful to You, Father. In the midst of my enemies, You've prepared a table for me. It doesn't matter what anybody says or anybody does. Your word says I should be anxious for nothing. Bring my supplications, my prayers, my requests before You, and You'll take care of it all. Amen. You see, when we begin to do that, when we begin to go to Him in that priestly function, that's when we get that peace. That's when we know that when we pray, He hears us. That's when we know that when we cry out to Him, He hears us and He guards our hearts. And then you won't be anxious. The amount of texts I get about coronavirus and emails, and everybody's right, of course. They're all right. They're all very, very clever. Very, very clever. The only thing I know is that the only place I have assurance is in Him. Amen. The only thing I know is that I can pray and trust Him and cry out to Him, and whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Amen. I can have an assurance. I can have a peace that surpasses understanding, because it comes from the throne of grace, which pours out an abundance of grace to you and I, so that we can do what we call to do on the earth, which is to rule and reign and be kings and priests unto our God. Amen. You want to make a difference in your city? You want to make a difference in this nation? The key is to go before Him as a priest and cry out to Him. And when we begin to do that, then we also step into our kingly function. While we're operating as priests, we also begin to operate as kings. And we begin to take authority. Not in our might, not our will, not our desire. You see, I can't go and exercise my authority over the nation. You know how much will move? That's why the Bible's clear. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only thing that I must desire is to know what His will is and to begin to pray His will. And even when I don't know exactly what it is for the outcome of an election or because of this or because of that, what I will do is I will cry out for His will to be done. You see, Hebrews 13:15 says this. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased with sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of thanksgiving, giving and doing good and sharing, all that stuff. But I can tell you right now that there is something very special about a people that desire to go before God on behalf of their community, their family, their loved ones, even your neighbor that you don't like so much. Go to God on behalf of him. Stand in the gap. Is there an intercessor that will cry out for the life of that one person? Is there someone that will cry out against this, the darkness that desires to destroy, that desires to kill? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his plan. That is his desire. Amen. Now let me show you something. When I saw this, I was so blown away by this. Most of you know this scripture. We know that this really was quoted by Jesus in the context of the Pharisees were challenging him. And he quotes David. He quotes Psalm 110. To show that how could the Lord speak to his Lord. But I want to focus on something else from here this morning, this evening. Let's go to Psalm 110 real quick. You see, once you have begun to step into your priestly ministry, then you will also begin to operate in your kingly ministry. People have said to me many times, well, how do I use authority? How do I get more authority? Well, it's really simple. Go and spend time in His presence. Well, you know, it doesn't work like that. You know, it doesn't matter how much we pray. Listen, you've been given the authority, but you need to learn how to hear His voice. You need to learn how to draw close to Him. You need to learn how to be in His presence. You need to go and be a priest. Is that okay? And when you do that, you will begin to see your boldness increase, your knowledge increase, your hearing increase, and you will be able to use what has been given to you so that you can make a difference on the earth. How many of you in this room say, I want to make a difference? Amen. I'm so glad you all raised your hands. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was asked, you know, I want to know what to do to have more authority. I honestly believe with all of my heart that this is the key. And I honestly believe that this is what God wants desperately to do right now on the earth, is to raise the church up, knowing who they are, kings and priests, exercising their authority, not for their own benefit, against the kingdom of darkness. Listen, if there's ever been a time where the kingdom of God needs to shine its light like never before, I have never seen a time like now where we have to stand up for what's truth. We have to come against the darkness. We have to come against the forces of the enemy that want to destroy and kill and bring fear and all this stuff. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. Can you say amen? Amen. Now watch this. Psalm 110, verse number 1. This is David now. The Lord said to my Lord, he's quoting, he's, this is the psalm that he's writing. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. This is extremely powerful. And it's actually, it's the Father speaking to the Son, the Lord speaking to my Lord. Sit at my right hand. How many of you know Jesus is sitting at his right hand? Till I make your enemies your footstool. Now watch. How many of you know that Jesus has been placed above powers and principalities? How many of you believe that the enemy have been placed under his feet already? Yes. Okay, we know that to be true. Now watch. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. What is he talking about there? What is he talking about, the rod of your strength? He's talking about an authority, a power that will go out from Zion, and we'll see what it will do in just a moment. But I want you to see something. You see, I want you to see, he says, let's actually quickly read verse number 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. You see, if we are kings and priests, we are supposed to rule in the midst of our enemies, right? Or let me put it to you this way. Jesus is supposed to rule in the midst of his enemies. But we have been called to be kings and priests and exercise that rule on the planet. Now, he says this, he's giving a word here. He's basically prophesying and saying, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Now, many people believe that that has something to do with the future, and maybe it does. But let me show you something out of Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. And the writer of Hebrews, Paul, we believe, is writing to the church. He's writing to believers. And look at what he says to them. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion. In other words, you have already come to Mount Zion. He's not talking about the future. He's talking about now. The Lord said to my Lord, he said that the Lord shall send the rod of your strength from where? Out of Zion. Now we, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You see, we've been seated there spiritually. We have been placed in Mount Zion in the company of an immutable company of angels. Now watch. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. How many of you can say amen? I want you to understand that spiritually we have already been placed there. We are already there. Now you must understand that in the spirit there are the firstborn who rose already out of the grave. They are also there. Come on guys, okay? Stay with me. I need you to understand that we have already spiritually attained Mount Zion. We are already there. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You see, you can't say one applies but the other doesn't because it doesn't suit your theology. And in this prophecy, he says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Jesus is ruling in the midst of his enemies. But I want you to understand something, that in order for that to happen, the rod must come. That rod of authority, that rod of power. And if you look throughout scripture, you will find that there was a rod used several times to display the power of God. That rod was used with Moses when Moses went before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's, then the rod was used and it turned into a snake. Yeah, well, the devil also has snakes. Well, that's great. But the Lord's rod ate their rod. Can you say amen? You see, even if the enemy thinks he's got power, I want you to know that God is the rank supreme power. God has all power, all authority. It's been given to him. Jesus is the rock. He's the salvation. He is my strength. He's my shepherd. His rod and his staff shall comfort me. It shall lead me. And it shall also be a strength and a weapon. Can you say amen? He says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. He's talking to Jesus. He's saying to Jesus, rule in the midst of your enemies. And he's saying to us that we will come out of Zion. How will Jesus right now rule on the earth? Through you and I. You are his way of doing it. What has he done to assure that you'll do it? Everything. He has done everything. He gave his life. He made a way. And now he says, you have been chosen for such a time as this. You have been set apart for such a time as this. You are a royal priesthood. In other words, you can come to God. You can go into his presence. The veil is torn. You have all access. Let us not be like the Israelites of the days of old who chose not to serve God in that capacity. They chose not to be hungry. They chose not to be thirsty. They said, Moses, you go and do it. You go speak to God. If you want me to give you a word, I will not. Go get your own word. Who's going to give me a word? Who's going to lay hands on me? The only way that I stay close to God is I make the effort. I have to be the priest. Well, you don't work. You don't have a clue what I do. My time with God is not here at the office 9 to 5. It's what I do in private, in secret that matters. What I do when I'm a priest and I'm quiet and alone with him. That's what matters. I'm not saying I don't want to give you a word. I'm saying that you have to go after it for yourself. And I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. Are you guys okay? Are you surviving? Amen. You all good? All right. Amen. All right. Watch this now. So he says, Psalm 110, verse number 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now watch. And your people shall be, and I love this, volunteers. In the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. I want you to understand that what he's really saying here is he's saying that these people that will be your people, that will exercise your authority, that will be on the earth, and you will be able to rule. You will be able to rule Jesus. You will be able to rule. They will do it voluntarily, or they will do it willingly. In other words, it's not an obligation. You see, that's the truth, is that you have no obligation. You'll even still make it to heaven. But I don't want to just go to heaven. Why? Because I recognize what he's done for me. I recognize his love and his mercy and his goodness. And I want to do what he's called me to do. And what is it more than anything? Let's go back to the beginning of the sermon. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be separated to him. And he wants us to, even now on the earth, operate out of our original intent, which was to actually have dominion. But you see, what happens to us, unfortunately, so many of us, is we begin to have dominion. We begin to see God even use us in the most miraculous ways. And then we begin to think, well, I'm the man with the power for the hour. I preached a really good sermon. I'm anointed. I prayed for someone. They got healed. I'm anointed. Look at me. Don't you understand that it has absolutely nothing to do with you? All he's done is poured an abundance of grace on you. All he's done is he's given you his righteousness. Don't we recognize that it actually is all his? So what's the problem? There's no problem. He's looking for volunteers. There is no problem. He's looking for those who will willingly come to him. Who will willingly say, Lord, here I am. Jesus, you sacrificed your life so that I could be saved. Now here I am, and I give you my life back. I surrender it all. I surrender it all. You see, God's not looking for an obligated people that feel like they have to do anything. He's looking for a people that will recognize his mercy, his love, and his goodness, and choose to follow him. And out of that generation, out of those people, we will see an authority on the earth the likes of which we have not even yet seen. They will take a hold of it. And that's why it suggests a young generation, whether that is truly young or just new, I don't know, But what I do know is that it's a people that he's describing that are almost like fresh, new. A generation that doesn't look at it the way they always have. Oh, you know, look, we mustn't sin. Oh, it's so hard. We have to pray. No. A generation that will go, Jesus, thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you delivered me. Thank you that I have a way. I have a way into your presence. I don't want to hold on to my junk anymore. I just want to follow you with everything inside me. Volunteers. Volunteers. Here I am, Lord. The prophet said, send me. You see, once the prophet had tasted when he was in the presence of God, once he had seen the Lord, all he could do was desire to be used by him. After he recognized all his faults. We have lots of faults, lots of weaknesses. But that's why he wants you to know that it's not your righteousness that qualifies you. It's his righteousness that qualifies you, and it's already been done. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you just don't know how bad I was. It doesn't really matter. I watched a documentary today about a serial killer that got saved. And most of us would go, well, he deserves to go to hell. Maybe. But not but you should see him now. He's serving the Lord, loves the Lord. I don't know. I don't really know where he is now, but I was pretty amazed by the story at the grace of God. Now, please don't go and be a serial killer, for goodness sake. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Don't be ridiculous. I'm trying to teach you the opposite. I want to show you. You know, I can tell you we shouldn't do this, and we should do this, and we must do this, and we must do that, and the Word says this, and the Word says that. But God has always desired a people that would desire Him. In return for His love and mercy. In return for His protection and His hand upon our lives. When I was getting dressed today, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, one of the things about being a Christian that's so awesome is when you do begin to see God's blessing on your life and you see Him like literally change things in the most amazing ways. And it wasn't too long ago and you were in a certain place and now He's taken you here. We kind of forget the from there to here, and we kind of don't really recognize it sometimes. We think that, well, you know, nothing's really happened or I haven't really changed. But if you stop for a moment and think where you were 2 years ago, you'll begin to see the goodness of God. You'll begin to see His mercy. There's no guarantee of no problems. In fact, the Bible tells us we'll have lots of those. Trials, tribulations, all that stuff. But He'll get you out. He'll get you through it. No matter what happens. Come, let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I thank you tonight in this place that you have called us to be kings and priests unto our God, to be a royal priesthood set apart, Father, chosen by you, a treasure, a special people, your own people. And when David prophesied concerning the Messiah, and he gave that incredible prophecy, yes, I know it has many interpretations, Lord, but clearly, Father, when Jesus came, he came to establish his kingdom. And he said to his disciples, when he said that all authority has been given unto me on heaven and in earth. And so as the Father sends me, now I send you. We have also been called sent ones. We've also been called to go out and preach the gospel, to bring the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, onto this planet, Father, where the enemy desires to utterly destroy in every form of evil. And I pray, Lord, that we would be the light. And that the light would shine in the darkness. And that the darkness would not comprehend it. But Father, let it never be out of obligation. Let it never be out of what we feel we have to do. But I ask, Lord, that you would put a desire in our hearts. Stir our hearts up, Father. Let the flames of your Spirit burn bright in each and every one of our hearts. That you would cause us, Lord, to desire to go to you more and more and more and more, Father. That out of our relationship with you would flow everything we need. And Father, I come against this evening every plan of the enemy, every form of darkness, every evil plot, every bondage that he desires to bring on any individual. And I speak tonight to that darkness. And I say this, that the light has come. And the light will shine, and you must go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I command in the name of Jesus every form of depression to go right now. I come against fear in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Not my will, not my desire, not my authority. But in Christ, with his authority, which is all authority. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you tonight, Father, for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you for an abundance of grace. I thank you, Father, for your righteousness that has been poured out on us so we can stand boldly before you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.